Hello everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and truly He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the way that God is always up to something good. Things that thoughts that's too impossible for us are not impossible for Him at all. He has so many ways to bless us, get His thoughts to us. One thing to know about the Lord, He wastes nothing. If He has somebody that can answer your concern, and they're going to be in your path, and you're asking the Lord for wisdom, He's not ashamed to allow even the least of His people to help you. There's something the Lord wants us to notice, folks, that when you're washed in His blood and His Spirit dwells in them, they are set up to be a blessing to society. Even not until they grow up, as they grow up. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and you believe it by faith and you endeavor to go on and do His will, you can be a blessing to people right now. Not until you grow, but as you grow. The way of the Lord, everything of God, everything comes to us in seed form. Every promise, everything that of God comes to us in seed form. And that's how the Lord does things. Every believer it starts out in seed form. They hear the word. The word gets in their heart in seed form. It grows. They don't reject it. Then the Holy Spirit gives them understanding and enlightenment to it. Because they heard the word and saw the lifestyle of those that love God, they are persuaded, they are encouraged, and the word keeps growing in seed form. And then when they believe and act on it, they start out in seed form. And they begin to grow. Along the way, they may do things they really didn't want to do. Just like our children, they start out in seed form. Even Jesus Christ was the seed of woman. We started out in seed form naturally. But as a baby, we begin to be a toddler. We start walking. We fall down. We cry. We get up. We learn to walk better. So it is with Christians. A man, even if he's grown, if he's just starting into the ways of God, he's like a baby. He's going to do things that's a little off color. But his heart is right. And his mind has to be renewed. And then his body has to be vital. All that will happen over time. But from the day he first believed, he's set up to be a blessing to society. And I don't say that lightly. We're still dealing with end times. And we're focusing on how to do warfare in the end times. The Lord gave me this teaching called the shell game. Satan didn't know who the seed of woman was. You know, I've talked about that. And during the days he was trying to figure it out, he gave God's people a hard time because he saw them as a threat. You know, he thought it was Abraham. He thought it was Moses. He thought it was Abel. He thought it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He thought it was Joseph. And we started looking at David. He thought it was Samuel. Then he thought it was David. He thought it was King Solomon. And many others. As long as the Lord have me doing this, we'll look at different aspects of what Satan did in their lives and why. But for this broadcast, the Lord had me talking about the single eye. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. So it says in Matthew chapter 6:22 and other scriptures also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body. Your whole body will be full of light. And today he wanted me to share something else along with that. You've been made the light of the world. Now you got to choose to do it God's way. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt is lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? In the old days, flavorless salt was used to kill weeds in the pathway. Roundup is all it was. That's all it's fit for. Now, we've been washed in the blood. As we go on to know the Lord, we become more and more of a blessing to society. And remember, the light of your way is the seed form of somebody else's way. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And with that, the good works that they see is the righteousness of Jesus, not you. Our righteousness is not of ourselves. One trick of the enemy was to get people to do something that they can point at and judge themselves righteous. Now, last week we talked about how, I gave an example when I went to a holiness church. Not picking on the whole. I love holiness church, Pentecost church, wonderful people. Learned a lot. I learned to do warfare there. But to keep hidden the treasure that is there, they had a doctrine where women couldn't wear pants. And the church I went to, not all are like that, but the one I went to, they couldn't wear jewelry, makeup, and they had to wear a prayer cloth, or not a prayer cloth, but a dolly on their head or a hat. And when you do things like that, you're taking the attention away from the righteousness that Jesus put in you, and you're pointing it to something that you can control. And it always backfires, because if we don't build with the Lord, we scatter. Last broadcast, we showed the danger in doing that. Now, these broadcasts are 15 minutes long. Each one is actually 30 minutes long, but we only play 15 minutes on the radio. But on newlivingletters.com, it's 30 minutes long. So you can go to newlivingletters.com. newlivingletters.com. On the audio 2 page, all these broadcasts are on there. And on the audio page, you have the ones from the last year back to 2015. Now, with that being said, tell your friends that, you know, that these broadcasts, if you hear something that's a blessing to you and you got somebody in Chicago, just call them up, say, hey, go to newlivingletters.com. You can listen to this broadcast. This preacher said something. You know, it's not about thirsting. It's about the word of the Lord. Can the word of God help them? And the Lord used holy men and women of God to be a blessing of others. And if these teachings are a blessing to you, share it with your friends and loved ones. Now, but the last broadcast, we talked about how the problems that people, you know, they don't mean any harm when they tell their daughters and their wives and all the women that they can't wear pants. They're just trying, they think they're doing the right thing. But it causes harm, because that's not what God wanted. They took a scripture out of context and made a law out of it. We're not righteous because we do little things like that. We're righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason that I'm righteous. That's the only reason that's the only thing in my life that can make the difference. And as I grow in the Lord and learn His ways, it's all based on what Jesus did. The blood of Jesus washed away my ragged sins. And then through that, He gave me a new heart. And even if I get sick, He has a perfect right to heal my body. And it's always God's will to heal you. If you want to be healed, it's His will for you to be healed. Now, He said, you're the light of the world. City set on a hill can't be hid. I started to say something. I didn't finish the last broadcast. I was, when I first got married, the first time I got married, my wife at that time, it didn't sit well with her about the wearing the pants, you know, not being able to wear pants. She used to wear them before she went to the church, and she felt like it wasn't wrong. So we ended up arguing about it. And like I said on the last broadcast, it may have just been in the website part. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did you put Deuteronomy 22 and 5 in the Bible? And he explained to me that it was there for the homosexuals. They're the only ones that would want to dress like the opposite sex to attract the same sex. And that's not of God. So he gave them a law. And the law is always in excess. You know, you can't just tell your children not to eat the cookie or not to eat the cake to after they ate dinner. And you leave the room. You have to say, don't touch the cookie jar and don't open it. Because they'll say, well, you'll come back, they'll be chewing on the cookie, and you'll say, I told you not to eat. They say, well, I just smelled it. And I opened it so I could smell it. Then I got one out and I smelled it, and then I licked it, and then I just took a little bite. That's what God was trying to avoid in his people. See, the lawless need the law. In the church, we don't need a law. He gave us his love to love with. Our law is to love like him. Our law, our only law, is to love others according to his love towards us. And we do that by living the life of God and sharing the gospel. We share it by the way we live, by our testimony, and by ministry, what we tell people to encourage them to believe when we speak the word of God. That's where the focus should always be, not on what we wear, eat, or what day we go to church on. Not things that we can control, but things that his blood covered. Now, being the light of the world, what happened after that was the same day when I went home, she was smiling. I said, what you happy about? She said, well, the Lord showed me something in Colossians chapter 2. Now, you're going to have to read that in your study time. To save time, I'm going to refer you to that scripture. But read the whole chapter of Colossians chapter 2. And at the end of it, it says, concerning the rudiments and doctrines of men, touch not, taste not, handle not. And a week or so after that, the church went to a skating rink. So she had stopped wearing dresses out in public. She would wear her pants, and she wore pants to the skating rink. And it wasn't a problem with me, so we just went on to the skating rink too. Now, you know it was a problem when the church people saw. After the Lord show you something, walk in it. You don't have to stall out because people won't understand. Live the life. I put the focus back where it belongs, on the blood of Jesus, not on what we wear. I knew that it wasn't a problem with God, so it wasn't her wearing the pants was not a problem with me. And so we went to the skating rink. Now at church, you're in the house. And sometimes you have to abide by the rules of your house. If I come to your house and you say, well, you got to leave your shoes outside. We don't wear shoes in our house. I have to abide by the law of the house. And if you decide to go to a church where women don't wear pants, just don't wear them at the church. But out in public, we wasn't at church. We was at the skating rink. And it's more appropriate to wear pants there. And that's what we do. So that's what we did. And I did it publicly. I lived the light publicly. Sometime in order to induce change, you have to. The world needs you to be. The world needs the example of God, not the commandments and rudiments that men like. So I don't govern my life. Once God showed me something or showed me where I was in error, I'm going to walk in truth from that point on. And you're just going to have to deal with it. And that was my attitude then, and that's the same attitude I take now. If the Lord showed me something that's going to work and it's going to help be a blessing to people, that's what I'm going to do. And others are going to have to just deal with it. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. They tried to tell, they got upset because Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. And he said, don't you go and get your ox on the Sabbath day. They couldn't say nothing about it. They couldn't refute it. That was just the way it was. You don't have to tone it down. That's the point we're trying to make. You don't have to, you don't have to tone down the light of God for anybody at any time. If you do that, that's because you chose to. Jesus said, let your light shine. And you know what will happen if you do? It works. You start tearing down the wall Satan built. Because if you don't build with him, you scatter. You know, so many good godly families send their daughters to school and they gotta wear a long dress. They can't play on the playground. They can't do what other kids do. They can't do what their best friends do. Then their friends talk about them and others talk about them. And it puts pressure on them. When they get grown, not only are they not gonna go to church, they ain't gonna take their children either, because they don't want them to have the hurt that they went through. If you don't build with God, you scatter. I'm using that for an example, not picking on any. This is just one example of many problems. Jesus didn't save us to live an isolated life. He never called us to live like monks in a cave. He saved us to go out in public and live. Give the world something to see. It takes courage. It takes wisdom. You can't hide the light if you want to be effective. And don't make a big deal out of it. I didn't broadcast. I just didn't say nothing. I just went about skating. So when in life, go out there and live. And don't worry about what all the things people try to impose. Don't let that happen to you. And you know what? You will gain respect, because everybody, including the world, they know right and wrong. Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And people are not stupid. When men use fear tactics and try to corral people into things because that's what they want and that's what they believe and that's how they were taught, they need to be interrupted, because they're doing damage that they don't see. There are many people that have gone to Pentecostal churches for the first time they heard somebody talking like this. If they didn't turn the radio off, I interrupted them. That's what the light does. People in the clubs, they turn the light down low so people will feel good about their little dark ways and their sneaky habits and things they're trying to pull off. And you turn the light on, everybody's seen for what they're doing. They turn them down low so people will feel comfortable doing the wrong they're doing. I'm interrupting everybody, and I'm doing it on purpose, with purpose, because the focus should have never been on the sorry works of men. It should have been on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus that made us righteous in the first place. And I think everybody, every Christian person deep down in their heart know I'm right. I think people in the world know better. Because when you're indoctrinated, you don't see the whole picture no more. You see a fragment. You see things in a fragmented way. You read the Bible in a fragmented way. You receive the Bible in a fragmented way. And if anybody say anything different, you argue with it. But when you happen to argue with the wisdom of God, you're living in darkness. And you will live that way until enough light is shone upon you for you to be exposed for the lies you believe and taken in and have taken in, and you'll see the error of your way. See, the day that people make their children, they beat their children, make them go to school and wear that dress, and they better not get it dirty. Come on, that's no way to live. Who are you living for? See, when they go to school like that, the devil gonna play with their mind. Why are you doing all this? God is mean to you. And that's how he thinks. And their parents represent him. So when they get grown, if their heart go hardened, they ain't going back. Not unless somebody roll them in there in that box. God wants us to live in spirit and in truth. We also talked about tithing. God wants us to tithe in spirit and truth. He wants us to love him in spirit and truth. He wants us to get saved in spirit and in truth. Everything about God is up front and public. There are no hiding places in God. The secret things he do, he just don't reveal his plan to the wicked. But he ain't hiding it. And most of the time he'll tell them what he's doing. And they won't receive. He's telling them so that they can wake up. He told us what he's going to do in the last days in Revelation. He spelled it out. You're not going to be able to buy. You're not going to be able to sell. Even if you're rich, your money ain't no good no more unless you take that mark. He's telling you what's coming down the pike, up front and personal, publicly. They make movies about it. People in the world, they heard it because they laugh at it. They think it's a fairy tale, but he told them. And they're going to live that terrible disaster too if they don't get saved. And that's my job, to warn them. But how in the world can you warn people if people are not living according to the word of God? It doesn't do any good to tell people about the end of the world and people living a half-shot life. This is 2017. We should. A lot of these things that people are still arguing over should have been dead a long time ago. We should have been long gone to something better. Because with the Holy Spirit living within us, we can learn whatever we want to. The Lord can teach you all about His creation. I ask Him about outer space and other planets and things. And He tell me things. Sometimes He show me things. But I don't preach it because who will receive it? It'll probably start an argument. People like what they can govern, what they can understand. They don't like new stuff sometimes. And the Word of God challenges us out of our comfort zones. Comfort zones are false anyway. They're holding you back. You put yourself on a fence for no reason. But the wisdom of God is eternal and infinite. It continues to move on. And it never leaves the foundation behind. It builds on it. Focus on what Jesus did for you. Represent the blood that He shed, the holy blood He shed for your life, which made you righteous. Because you're righteous, live righteous. In Romans chapter 14, they argued about what they couldn't do, just like we've been talking about. If you study that chapter, you can walk away from all forms of bondage that men have placed upon your neck. And it explains how not to be a stumbling block when people are confused. If you believe you can eat meat and your brother don't believe he should eat meat, and it's a conscious problem for him, don't eat meat around that guy. So he won't stumble till he gets strong enough to understand that it really don't matter. And don't make a law out of it. Don't pretend he right. Say, well, I'm not going to eat around you because I don't want to offend you. But that's not true. The blood of Jesus is the only reason we're righteous, not what we eat and don't eat. But this is what Paul said in his summary part. Verse 17, that's the only verse I want to read out of this chapter. You can read the rest in your study time. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." If you can enjoy the peace and righteousness of God and the joy in the Holy Ghost, what is it that you cannot learn from Him? And God loves us. Sometime in answering us, He'll use the least of His people. But men of pride, they got to have somebody that they esteem high. No. That's why they're proud. They look down upon others who were washed in the blood of the Lamb. A man that just got saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord can use him just like He can use me. And probably sometimes even faster, because when you have that fresh love, you're willing. People that have been around all these indoctrinations and problems, their heart get hard and they won't always say what God put on their heart. They'll get in fear and not say nothing when they're supposed to talk. You're going to have courage to let your light shine. If you would trust God on that point and live the life that He provided for you to live, you're going to be so effective, you're going to stop being cowardly about it. You'll let that fall away, and you're going to start taking courage, because there's no fear in God. You know, people use all kind of fear tactics. I've been to churches, if you don't pay tithes, you don't get to preach here. I mean, tithes is worship, folks. We're not under the Levitical law. We tithe as a privilege. We tithe because it's according to spirit and in truth, just like the order of Melchizedek, just like Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the high priest of God. Nobody told him to do it. He did it because he loved God. All that we do is because we love God. We attend church because we love God. And when we get there, we listen because we love God. People that are coerced to go to church, they don't always listen to what's said. Now, children can't govern the best choices. While your children are young and their children, they need your guidance. They need guidance themselves. They're under your roof and your rule. Take them to church. With that in mind, don't bully them. Say, no, we got to go to church, and take them and teach them to listen. And when they're old enough to be in the main sanctuary, I don't know how churches are structured different. Sometimes they have children's church. Sometimes they just have one big assembly. So whatever it is, if you're tearing the pastor down, if you've gotten in strife with him, it's going to bleed over to your children, because they're going to hear you talking about it, even when you're whispering about it against him. But you're going to have to take courage and do what God said do. Every man of God there is, if you're around them long enough, you're going to find something that you disagree about. Or you're not, you know, you don't have to be in disagreement, but it's just highly probable that somewhere along the scriptures or something, you're going to have some kind of disagreement. Remember this. Every blood-washed person has a strength somewhere. They may be a knucklehead in one area, but not in every area, and God can use them. And he'll use them to the best of his ability according to their ability to yield to him and what they've learned and how they see things. I don't trust people to agree with me on everything, because they didn't walk in my shoes. And I don't expect them to, you know, it's not a competition. Wherever in life they can help me, I receive their help. If I can help them, I pray that they receive my help. But I'm not going to fall out with a person because we disagree on one point or see things different. They're washed in the same blood I'm washed in. They have a strength, a golden strength somewhere. And I want my life to encourage people to be their best. What more can I ask? What more can I expect from a person? And anything I want to know, I'm going to ask the Lord. But you make change by interrupting darkness by light. And it takes your courage to do it. Be bold about it. Whatever you do, live the light publicly. Don't be ashamed to say, I don't do that. Fornication is wrong. Adultery is wrong. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. Homosexuality is just wrong. It will kill you. In love, I let people know the truth. All right, let's say I pretend it's all right and they die and go to hell. Now, that's wrong. That's wrong on my part. I didn't want them. I was a dumb dog. I didn't bark. You know, if you got a pit bull in your yard and you got a fancy car out there, you want that dog to bark if somebody come around to pick at it. Well, there's no reason to turn your light down dim. People need interrupting. We all do at times. That's one reason I go to church, so I don't go off on a tangent. stay balanced. And I go to a good church. I love my pastor and all the ministers there. They are good people. And I thank God for every minister I've learned that helped me grow. All of them. Even the ones I disagreed with. And I wasn't afraid to tell them that I didn't agree when I didn't. One church I went to, they brought up the pants thing again, the dress code. And she said, if you have a problem with that, see the pastor. I saw the pastor. I said, look, I don't agree with you with the church on the way women dress. I wasn't scared to tell him. I didn't fear that he wouldn't let me preach. I don't teach that. I said, if I teach you, I just won't say anything because I'm in your house. But I don't agree with it because I believe it caused more harm than good. He didn't agree with me. He said, I respect you. He said, I thank God for your honesty. And that was that. Be honest with people. It takes courage. Let your light shine. Now, we're out of time. Again, but the Lord is not here. Continue to move in your life and bless you and teach you all the things you want to know today. See, he has no, you'll stop before he does. But draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.